Now, there are also several questions that are raised about the comparison between Russia and China. China also, you have the case of the combination of an authoritarian political system and a market economy. And I remember in the 90s in Russia, there was considerable discussion about the China model versus the Russia model. Do you think that in the end, has Russia sort of come back to the China model? And does China represent a sort of form of reformed communism, a baked snowball that manages to stay intact?
Thank you. I would argue with China that the preconditions are simply totally different, so there is hardly anything that one can compare. Even today, China's GDP per capita is one quarter of Russia's. So you can say that China is now in the midst of the 1930s industrial revolution in comparison with the Soviet Union. And if you look upon the economic structure, when the reform started in 1978 in China, three-quarters of Chinese labor was employed in agriculture. In Russia, in the Soviet Union, less than one-quarter. In China, it was essentially manual labor in small units, while in the Soviet Union, you could hardly find a cow shed that had less than 400 cows. You had to deal with massive, huge units that had to be broken up or undone in some way. More than 50% of GDP in Russia came from industry, and the more sophisticated the industry was, the more useless it was, because all manufactured goods, essentially, apart from arms, were not useful. So the Soviet Union had developed in a wrong way, and this had to be undone. In China, the industrial sector was that small and not so sophisticated, so it could be left aside. And then politically, in China it had the Cultural Revolution, which meant that power of the party was questioned, but also that power at the center was much greater than in the Soviet Union. Remember that when Gorbachev came to power, nobody thought that anything could change at all, apart from Gorbachev and a few of his close allies, who were deeply frustrated with a complete stagnation in the Soviet Union. And I remember 1 month after Gorbachev had come to power, he issued a decree about agricultural reform. So I then, as a diplomat in Moscow, went to see a senior official in the Soviet Ministry of Agriculture. So I asked him, what does this decree by the Secretary General mean? And this senior official looked upon me as an idiot and said, it doesn't mean a damn thing. Why should I bother about a paper signed by the Secretary General of the Communist Party? I work in the Ministry of Agriculture of the Soviet Union. And I thought that this must be some old fogey who didn't realize that new times had arrived. But little did I know, he gradually rose and finally became first deputy prime minister in his splendid career. He understood that the dictators were not the top party officials, but the bureaucrats. And the bureaucrats didn't want any reforms that reduced their power. Therefore, Gorbachev realized quite sensibly that he had to go for political reforms in order to make it possible to undertake economic reforms. In China, it was possible to do otherwise. You can also say that in China there was a lot of low-hanging fruit that Deng Xiaoping could exploit. In the Soviet Union, there was no low-hanging fruit whatsoever. That was what Gorbachev had to experience very bitterly.